I feel the need. The need for speed.
Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Matthew Law Middleton. And as Top Gun just referenced, there's a bill, House Bill 1215, that is making its way through the Missouri legislature this session. And it calls for raising the non-urban speed limits on interstates from 70 to 75 here in Missouri. That could drop the 3.5 hour travel time between Kansas City and St. Louis by 14 whole minutes. Think of all the things you could get done in that quarter hour. Joining us now to discuss the potential consequences, good and bad, of this proposed legislation is Daniel Nick. He's the district engineer for the Kansas City District at the Missouri Department of Transportation. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. So in my research, I've discovered that at least four states have recently, within the last year, raised their speed limits. What's going on with this trend for the need for speed here?
It's something that is routinely brought up in the legislature across the country. It's a highly debated topic, much like the use of seatbelts and the ban on texting and distracted driving. I mean, there's just a lot of emphasis being put on highway safety across the nation, and the discussion of speed limits usually comes up as part of that discussion.
Mm-hmm. But physics don't lie, right? Speed does kill. Is that correct?
Certainly, when you increase the speed of a motor vehicle, you increase the probability of the severity of the accidents. Like you said, it's the physics of it. The faster you're going, the harder the crash is going to be.
And do we have numbers that would show, but for every mile per hour you go over X speed, you know, like it decreases the survivability rate by, you know, X percent? Is there anybody who's looked into, you know, how potentially dangerous it could be to raise the speed limit by an additional 5 miles per hour?
Certainly the National Highway Safety Institute does those types of data gathering and testing to determine, you know, what are the impacts of increased speed limits and the use of lighter vehicles, the difference between a commercial motor vehicle and a passenger vehicle certainly plays a role. So there's a lot of factors that are involved, but speed is definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm. But in my research, I also found that automobile deaths have actually been trending down in the last decade, despite the fact that, for example, more cars are getting better fuel efficiency, particularly because they're becoming lighter. Ford just announced that it's going to be building a aluminum F-150, which will also be significantly lighter, almost, I think it's 750 pounds lighter. So is the concerns for safety, are they kind of gated by the fact that perhaps we're becoming better drivers?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, across the country, DOTs have put a tremendous amount of effort into engineering better roadways. We're working closer with our enforcement partners, being the Highway Patrol. We're working with the emergency responders to try to get better response times for people that are in injuries. And we've put a tremendous amount of effort just in educating young drivers and pre-teen drivers on how important it is to pay attention behind the wheel and not drink and drive and to wear your seatbelt. So there's basically the four E's that we focus on trying to make drivers safer.
The four E's, what are those?
Engineering, enforcement, emergency response, and education.
Well, you mentioned engineering and you being an engineer. Can you explain what are some of the things that perhaps we never have noticed when a highway is being repaved or, you know, retrofitted, that what's been changing over the last few years in highway design?
Well, one of the most significant things that we've done in Missouri is the installation of high-tension guard cable. And if you look at I-70 across Missouri, in the rural portions where we don't have a physical barrier wall between the eastbound and westbound lanes, we have what we call a three-strand guard cable. And the whole purpose of that cable is to keep people from crossing over the median and having a head-on collision. And it's been extremely effective. We have almost eliminated fatalities on I-70 due to crossover accidents. And we've taken that exact same model and put it on other interstates across the state and even some of our higher volume expressways. And it's extremely effective, cost-effective measure to try to reduce fatalities.
Mm. And are there other things that you folks have been designing and implementing in addition to the high-tension wire?
Yes, we've also use what we call a rumble stripe, where we mill in a rumble on the edge of the shoulder, and then we put the paint stripe on top of that with the intention of giving motorists an audible alert when they're about to run off the edge of the road. We've also increased the width of our stripes to make them more visible at night and in the rain. And the combination of putting the stripe in the rumble strip has been extremely effective as well.
So saving lives in kind of small and big ways. There have been several times when the government has lowered the speed limit, particularly during oil crisis of the late 1970s, to increase the fuel efficiency. How much would raising the speed limit just by 5 miles per hour, particularly at such a high speed, influence the fuel efficiency of vehicles traveling through Missouri?
Well, obviously, it's dependent upon the type of vehicle that you're talking about and what type of fuel they're burning, but there is a direct correlation between speed and fuel efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Cars are really not designed to operate an optimum fuel efficiency, you know, above 55 or 60 miles an hour.
And now changing the speed limit kind of sounds like it's pretty easy to do. The legislature passes a bill and then, wham, we can get faster speeds. But there's a lot that would have to change. I'm thinking of signs, you know, every how many miles that would have to be changed over. So there's probably an expense with this. Would that be correct?
Yeah, we would definitely have to either change out the existing signs or at least change the numbers on the existing signs to reflect the change in legislation. And just on the rural interstates alone, we're estimating it could cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000.
Mm-hmm. And what is one of the biggest advantages to increasing speed limit? Is it just simply a measure of time? Is there research to show that it improves the economy of the areas that have increased speed?
To be honest with you, I think it's just driver's preference. People would prefer to drive faster and get to their destinations quicker. The problem with that is you've got to balance that against the safety of operating a motor vehicle. And that's really the debate is that, you know, 5 or 10 minutes in time savings worth increase in the likelihood of a severe accident or even possibly a fatality in case of an accident.
And one state that is very similar to us, just right across the border, Kansas, they've had their speed limit at 75 on the non-urban areas of the interstate for some time. Do we have any numbers that would suggest, you know, per, I think like the statistic is a million driven miles, the fatality rates in their state versus us? So we're comparing apples to apples?
Yeah, the only way that you can actually compare states is by the accident rate, which is a factor of the number of lane miles driven mm-hmm. by motorists. And, you know, if you look at a map of the United States, typically the eastern states have a maximum speed limit on the interstates of 70 miles an hour, and the western states have a maximum speed limit of 75 miles an hour. And there mm-hmm. are some exceptions, but it's basically along the western Missouri border, the western Iowa border, all the way up to Minnesota, all the way down to Arkansas. If you look east, it's typically a 70 mile an hour max speed limit. If you go to the west, it's 75, and it's just basically because they're much more rural populous states to the west with fewer drivers on the interstates.
Mm-hmm. So they're safer by the fact that there's just less people doing the driving?
Yeah, just by the virtue of there's less motorists on the road, the probability of being in an accident is lesser.
Mm-hmm. And so while we were discussing the difference, while we're discussing just the difference of 5 miles per hour, one stat that blew me away was that of all the people that died in motor vehicle accidents in Kansas City, in the area around Kansas City, that 41.3% of those fatalities were people not wearing their seatbelt. It still seems like that is the most basic thing to do to keep yourself safe behind the wheel.
Yeah, that's one issue that the department has really taken a strong stance on, and we're trying to encourage motorists to wear their seatbelts, and we're trying to educate drivers before they become drivers on the importance of it. But in Missouri, we don't have a primary seatbelt law, so you can't be pulled over for not wearing your seatbelt. And just that one change in legislation would hopefully increase our participation with use of seatbelts. Right now, we're below the national average of 89% who typically wear a seatbelt. In Missouri, it's only about 79%.
Well, that's all the time we have. Daniel Nick, he's a district engineer for the Kansas City District of the Missouri Department of Transportation. Thank you so much, Daniel, for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you talk to me?
Now let's take a few minutes to shift from speed limits to speeding tickets. While KCUR doesn't advocate excessive speeding, we want to know from you, what have you done when you've gotten a speeding ticket? What do you do under those circumstances? It's part of our ongoing community engagement project called Tell KCUR. We took to the airwaves and social media this week with this question. Have you ever tried to get out of a speeding ticket? What worked and what didn't? And here to tell us about your answers is Allison Rollitz. She's KCUR's social media producer. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you, Matthew.
So first off, what were some of the things that did not work?
Well, I'd just like to say by far, people love telling us what did work. We actually, I think, only had one person tweet us what didn't. And Claire told us, I constantly have an excuse on the tip of my tongue. Brothers in the hospital, emergency at work, none work.
That's unfortunate for her, I'm
yeah,
sure. It's also disturbing that she has so many
I thought
excuses
that as well.
ready. What are some of the things that did work, though?
Well, there were definitely several common themes, and lying apparently was a big one. We got everything from someone saying lying about going to a funeral when they weren't. We even had a person, she called in recently and said that when the cop pulled her over, she reached around and pinched her baby child to get him to start crying. And I guess it worked. He got out of the ticket. She got out of the ticket because the cop felt bad for
her. And risked a child endangerment charge on top of the ticket.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And surprisingly, honesty was a recurring theme. We had several people say just being friendly and honest with the officer got them out of tickets. Mm-hmm. Tom on Facebook, he told us he told a joke and the officer knew he was speeding and so told him just to go on his way. On Twitter, @ZippingCEO tells us, the trick is just to pull over immediately and acknowledge your guilt works 50% of the time. And we also heard a couple of versions of this caller's response from several people.
The solution to your speeding ticket question is to hire a competent attorney that is experienced in that area of the law and is experienced in the court where your ticket is going to be heard.
Well, getting a lawyer seems important.
Hey, hire an attorney. Hire an attorney. We got that a lot.
I wonder how many of them were lawyers.
I know.
but any other recurring themes that you discovered?
Yes, we had a few people talk about crying. Jenny tweets us, well, I never tried to cry when I've been pulled over, but I usually do, and sometimes that has an impact. She even put that question mark in there. I think she felt a little guilty.
Yeah, well, the truth will set you free, and guilt and shame, it's all healthy emotions. What were some of the excuses or methods that people used that really stood out to you?
I have to say, this caller somehow married speeding with bazooka gum.
About 10 years ago, I was speeding down Truman Road to get from Kansas City to Independence, and back then I chewed a lot of bazooka bubble gum, and I got pulled over and acknowledged my bad, I've been speeding, handed him my bazooka fortune, and it said, today is your lucky day, and he laughed, and I did not get a ticket, so it really was my lucky day.
Wow. Well, I guess keep packets of gum in your vehicle at all times.
Bazooka gum, Matthew.
Yeah. And Allison, have you ever gotten a speeding ticket?
Oh, I've gotten speeding tickets. Not many, but I've never gotten out of one. And I'm honest and I'm nice. I can't say I've told jokes, but I've done a lot of these things and I just have to pay the ticket. Yeah. What about you, Matthew?
Just a few weeks ago, I got a moving violation. I made a left-hand turn on a green light on Paseo, but it was between the hours of 4 and 7. And I'm going to say this was a spirit of the law rather than letter of the law situation. There were no cars I was blocking. I understand the law and why it's there, but I don't think I'm going to contest it. I don't want to spend the money for a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's all the time we have for today. So I want to thank you, Allison, for coming in.
Thank you so much. And just to let everyone know, the conversation continues online.
That's all the time we have. You can subscribe to our podcast, hear this conversation again, or access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page of KCUR. Tune in tomorrow as we explore the best and recent cinematic releases and discuss the cult classics of the past, and maybe some that are on the horizon. Our show is produced by myself, with Suzanne Hogan, Ross Steinmetz, and Kate Baxendale. Stay tuned for Up to Date, that's coming up next. I'm Matthew Law Middleton, and this is KCUR. Leaned and whispered in my ear, cuddling more and driving slow, with no particular place to go.